You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football at SportingNews.com. If you come to Sporting News now, you can look at my Week 8 picks against the spread as we flip the page here from Week 7 put that in the books, go forward. Today on this show, we'll focus on the weekly waiver wire with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. He'll join us a little later to give us a little bit of scouting and analysis on some guys that we're looking at here at running back and wide receiver. Programming note there, if you're new to the show or you're used to it, we'll still have the experts editions here to close the week. Matchup focus with Jeff Ratcliffe there of Pro Football Focus on Wednesday, looking at the key matchups of the week. And then we'll close again with lineup focused with Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus to help us with some DFS advice on FanDuel and DraftKings. So that's how we set up the week as we flip. But we got almost all the takeaways in there from Week 7 on our Monday show. But we got one more game to talk about first. And before we look at the waiver guys that you can pick up. Now, not any waiver fallout from the Falcons-Giants game. The Falcons win the game Monday night 23-20. Now, both quarterbacks kind of had similar games here. We're under pressure, sacked a lot. Ratings were very similar and yards were almost identical, but 379 and a touchdown for Matt Ryan, 399 and a touchdown for Eli Manning. So these teams just couldn't get it going on the ground. Everyone focused on taking away the running back. So a lot of high dink and dunk volume passing here for both these quarterbacks at some deep shots as well. So not too bad. You were pleased with if you streamed Eli Manning, even though you only had the one score there, did have the touchdown to his credit there. So still came through there in the end with the big yardage and the score. Same thing with Matt Ryan. Want a little bit more, but you'll take it when the yardage makes up for the lack of TDs there. And look at Eli Manning. Saquon Barkley had another big game from scrimmage. Was bottled up in the running game, but this is great about him. 9 for 51 receiving on 10 targets. Also had the score at the goal line. So he's always going to make it up for it there with his receiving work and scoring work. And Barkley continues to be a stud at RB1. Week in and week out is the focal part of this offense. A good part here is that the Giants kept it simple. Evan Ingram came back, but only 2 catches for 16 yards on 4 targets. So they kind of just went to the Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham show interchangeably. 11 targets for Beckham. He catches 8 for 153 and a score there late in the game. Sterling Shepard also making some big plays, some 50-yard plays there as well. Catches 5 of 8 targets for 167. So these two guys are pretty monster when they just max protect, send 2 guys out, and throw these guys. That's what they really need to do here is just keep it simple sometimes. When your offense is struggling, just Barkley, Shepard, Beckham, and that's good for fantasy when less people are involved. So Evan Ingram, it was disappointing, but he just seemed a little rusty and off. And Eli, while Ingram was gone, really is trusting Shepard more as that underneath possession receiver. And we saw that Shepard can also stretch the field and make big plays. So good to see there from the Giants offense. Even though they didn't look good overall and lost the game, they got the principals involved and made plays, and that's all we're looking for in fantasy. We don't care about their reality record now, which is 1-6. On the Falcons side of things, Matt Ryan mentioned the one TD. Marvin Hall had the TD, which I actually faded Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu. They were banged up coming into this game. They were able to play, but combined 7 catches only for 64 yards on 8 targets. Sanu only had 2 targets the entire game. Ridley did have a nice catch there late, but I thought this was going to be Julio Jones' game. It was 9 catches, 104 yards on 12 targets. Thought it could be even a bigger game. There's some interference penalties and things like that, some missed passes. But Marvin Hall with the bomb touchdown there from Matt Ryan, a 47-yarder. 3 for 63, not a guy that you're looking at. Austin Hooper was decent in a PPR, better than we expected, 3 for 48 with a 36-yard play that really helped him out. Otherwise, it was quiet for him and no touchdown. Love there. The surprise here was Tevin Coleman. And people were down on Tevin Coleman versus Ito Smith. And people were talking about Ito Smith maybe having more talent. That could be true in terms of pure running. But Coleman's still a very fast cog. We saw that in his 30-yard touchdown run here. 11 carries, turned into 50 and a score. Also had two catches for 32. So I liked him in this game because of his ability to get outside, catch passes. And the Giants really struggled against that type of back. And it really played out that way. So some renewed confidence in Coleman there when you look at him, and in the end, he out-touched Ito Smith 13-9, even in a game where the Falcons had a comfortable lead. So that's a good, good sign here for Coleman going forward. He hasn't looked this good in a while this season, so that's a strong takeaway there. Julio Jones also lost a fumble this game, so they probably would have put up another score here. But Jones, still disappointing in standard when you look at 104. Receiving, put up 8. You thought it could be a little bit bigger, but very great in PPR, of course. 9 catches here. So the Falcons, it's going to be week to week on those other receivers contributing there. But in most matchups, they'll come through. The Giants, actually, secondary is pretty darn good away from Janoris Jenkins with Landon Collins and Eli Apple. And that was the product of what we saw with the limited production from this team. So before we bring on Eric here to talk about the waiver wire pickups that we're targeting there, namely at wide receiver and running back, we'll start to look at the quarterbacks and the Streamsville here that we need to examine. Baker Mayfield, he's kind of in the groove now with Jarvis Landry and David Njoku. That's all he needs really to produce. And he's also a very good running quarterback as well. So that helped. He's going to improvise. We saw the long run against the Bucs. So Steelers game, a little tough on the road, a little bit trappy here for Baker Mayfield, but the volume alone and potential for Mayfield just starting to ball out a little bit is going to help him. Now, Joe Flacco, not the greatest option against the Panthers, but the Panthers are not a shutdown team by any means in terms of stopping wide receiver. Flacco's been pretty decent with his floor this year, even had a good one against the Saints when things didn't look very sharp early. He still got it going late. They're using John Brown and Mark Andrews to get in the end zone. So Flacco, I really like here as a solid floor play that should be really on every team now as a backup. Now, in terms of streaming other quarterbacks, we're not trusting too much this week. Just not very good for streaming quarterbacks. I think if you want to stretch a little bit, you can look at Case Keenum at Kansas City. I know that blew up in the face of Andy Dalton, but this is not a primetime game. And Keenum was decent in the first matchup there as well. He's going to have to throw a ton. We'll have to see what his receiving core looks like. A lot of trade rumors around that. But Keenum's got Cortland Sutton, some guys there that can make plays. Phillip Lindsay, Emmanuel Sanders. We'll have to see if he can play through the ankle injury. But that's about it for stretching for QB this week. The bye week, so take away a few streamers as well for you as an option. So tough spot here with Philip Rivers and the like off this week, but that's where you kind of have to go if you're looking for streamers. At running back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Raiders situation, the 49ers situation with Eric, but we have to mention here Ronald Jones. Peyton Barber, will have to see if the injury, if there was an injury, whatever, if he's going to shut down. But it's not a bad spot against the Bengals this week. And Jones did get immediately involved after Barber exited that game against Cleveland and scored a touchdown. So he's back on our radar, someone we have to pay attention to. Chris Ivory is someone that we're going to also keep in mind here with LeSean McCoy and the concussion protocol, also dealing with an ankle injury. Now, the Patriots matchup isn't great, and they're not scoring a lot, but Ivory did the job from scrimmage last week. They're using him in the passing game, and they got Marcus Murphy, too. But if they're in a game going in, Ivory's going to be the guy ahead. He's played well when McCoy's been out. So at least some garbage chances there for Ivory against the Patriots this week. They're big underdogs, but anytime a guy is going to start and see a lot of touches in the backfield, potentially, you got to look at him. Now, Nyheim Hines still has good value, even with Marlon Mack there, I think, with the Colts. So if people have dropped him, I think if you get Hines, they're going to use the satellite back a little bit more in certain situations. But Marlon Mack is the guy to own here, and it's probably the last call for him. Now, if you're struggling there a little bit and looking for some backup help, you have to look at Kenyon Barner there with the Patriots. Sonny Michel with the knee injury is probably going to miss a little bit of time. They need some early down back. They don't want to put it all on James White in the running and the passing game. So Barner's the guy for now. We have to see if they go and sign Mike Gillisley as a potential goal line guy. Revenge potential against the Bills to score some touchdowns. But Barner's the guy you have to target now. And you have to look at Chris Thompson. It's not looking good for Chris Thompson in terms of his health. Capri Bibbs has been rather effective here. He scored a touchdown against the Saints a couple weeks ago. Last week he caught a touchdown there. So Bibbs has some value in deeper situations if you're in a pinch here looking for help and running back. Bibbs is someone you can target for sure. We'll jump down to tight ends. There's not too much there to look at. Benjamin Watson, a little bit more involved for the Saints there, scored against the Ravens. I think that could be good for him. They're kind of phasing out Cameron Meredith. And we'll talk a little bit more about Tre'Quan Smith stepping in as the number two receiver behind Michael Thomas. But in terms of the number three, it might be Benjamin Watson now for Drew Brees, a trusted guy there. CJ Uzomah is probably the last call for him. Scored, the only Bengal that really came through there for you in that matchup against Kansas City. Great matchup this week against Tampa to really keep producing. Vance McDonald against Cleveland. We know Cleveland struggled there against O.J. Howard covering him. So Vance McDonald. So it's kind of follow the Cleveland and Tampa Bay situations to help you find your sleeper tight ends. And Chris Herndon, the Jets have turned to more of a dink and dunk game. And they got to find different guys to do it. Quincy Nunez hurt, Jermaine Curse old and not reliable after zero last week. Finding guys, Chris Herndon has scored in now back-to-back weeks. Rookie quarterback, tight end. And the Bears didn't have to deal with a tight end last week with Rob Gronkowski not playing. But Herndon, we have to pay more attention to now that he's in the mix with their team more as a target for Darnold. So we'll talk to Eric here soon, and then we'll come back with the other options that you need to look at wide receiver and defense going into week 7 and beyond. But first, I got to tell you, ever since I started doing this podcast, and as I mentioned there, as I do every week, I have my week picks against the spread here. It's now week 8, so that's up on Sporting News. You can check out what I do there, but that's fine. If you know or you think you know what team's going to win or cover in a particular week, that's one thing, but you got to be also taking that knowledge and information to the right place. And I can't recommend my bookie enough for the best wagering action on the internet. They have live in-game betting, the best player perks in the business. They got great reviews online. Everyone is raving about their service, and it's so easy to use. You can do it on the go with their mobile site that makes it a breeze there, and you can really know that you're in the game. And when you play there and you win, they're going to pay you pretty fast at MyBookie, and they're going to pay you a little bit more just to sign up to play at MyBookie. Now, if you can wait till 7 p.m. Eastern time after that and then deposit, you'll get a $25 bonus over $100 there if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25 there. So if you make your initial deposit there at MyBookie, they're going to throw in $25 more. If you don't come at the rush hour times where all the new bettors are coming in, come after 7 p.m., get that $25 extra. And don't forget, you also get the dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000 for your first deposit there at MyBookie. So great time to get into it. Betting on the NFL mainstream more than ever. You want to get in this mix and get in the action and win some money. And MyBookie is going to help you do that. And we want to help you do that as well with that promo code LOCKEDON25 that you want to enter there to really save some good money early and have some money to win big with going forward. So there you have it. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. When we come back, we'll have Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly to help us break down some of the most intriguing running backs and wide receivers of the week to pick up in fantasy leagues.
Joining me now, as he always does, for weekly waiver wire talk is Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. And Eric, some interesting developments here during week 7, some trades, some different news affecting fantasy football on the waiver wire.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously, as the trade deadline gets closer, I mean, it's always fun for us in the media to sort of cover these big moves, and Amari Cooper certainly would qualify. And, you know, not only what it means for the teams involved and the player, but also how it impacts fantasy. It's a pretty cool thing to talk about.
Yeah, and we have to talk first about the Raiders. The fire sale is real. Who knows is going to be gone next? Any first round or second round pick is not safe on that roster. But you look at this other development that happened there, that Marshawn Lynch was put on IR with a groin injury. Now, Jalen Richard, Doug Martin, that's a big decision fantasy owners are starting to make this week to try to get some desperation help at that position. Now, Richard, I figure this team's going to be trailing a lot. They need to replace Cooper's production in the passing game. I feel like Richard is a better way to go with Doug Martin, because Doug Martin could also see DeAndre Washington cut into his work there as well.
Yeah, and I mean, taking John Gruden at face value is always a very risky proposition. I mean, I will say that when you heard Gruden talk up Doug Martin, you know, anyone over 30 for that matter, he seems to love, but you know, you heard him, I guess it was in August, talking up Doug Martin like he was the second coming of Charlie Garner or something like that. But yeah, I still don't see a guy who's been below that Mendoza rushing line, the 3.6 yards a carry and 3.7 and whatever, not really being a receiving option as well. I mean, maybe Martin becomes kind of a goal line guy and vultures a touchdown or two, perhaps, but I don't really have a lot of faith in the offense in general. I think your assessment's pretty true though. And that's, you know, Richard at least shows you some burst, and that's, you know, I realize people are desperate at this point. So that's a move that I could understand making and have him be a bye week guy. But yeah, it's a tough situation overall with Cooper gone now.
Yeah, it's almost a situation you really want to avoid if you can, but we know we can't this year with all the attrition at running back, especially the season and the changes that we can't control. Now, at wide receiver, Amari Cooper out of this mix, traded to the Cowboys. Now, that leaves you with Jordy Nelson, who'd been doing some good work in the slot, but now that role is in question. He might be outside again with Seth Roberts having to slide in, play more. Of course, Martavis Bryant in this mix as well. How do you feel like these targets are going to shake up? And you know that Jared Cook is going to be involved in this as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with Jordy Nelson. He had the huge game, against Miami? And then, you know, backs it up with a solid performance against the Browns and then does nothing against Seattle. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure people are kind of already, you know, kind of wringing their hands on that one. And I can understand why, you know, the Martavis glitz could kind of catch somebody's eye, and you know, you've got Dwayne Harris there and whatever. It's really so tough to have much of a good solid projection on what's going to look like. And you know, Jared Cook has obviously been a big factor there as well. And I don't know, man, I just I hesitate to really recommend any of those options as like good solid weekly plays or whatever, but you know, you kind of have to sort of ride it on a weekly basis and kind of hope for some good luck in some of these situations.
Yeah, it's just not looking good. And who knows, maybe Derek Carr won't be the quarterback either. And then we have to figure that out, who AJ McCarron likes and all this weird stuff. So Raiders situation, yeah, you have to look at it with the bye weeks. There's some monster ones coming up here with the six teams off around the corner. So yeah, unfortunately, we have to dig into this a little bit. Now, just as confusing as Jordy Nelson's former team, the Packers, they've seen some things from Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Equanimeous St. Brown made a big play there against the 49ers to help them. We know Devontae Adams is a beast. Now, Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb look like they might be coming back from injury. So how do you kind of sort this going forward? Because we know it's Adams and Jimmy Graham, but who are we going to trust most as a number three option in this Green Bay offense?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. It's really going to be tough. I mean, especially if Cobb is kind of back in a full-time role. I mean, we know Adams is, you know, sort of lineup. I mean, he's going to be there no matter what, obviously, unless he, you know, suffers some kind of injury or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen little flashes. Valdes-Scantling, I think, probably offers a little more excitement. But that late catch, I can't get over that great sideline grab that Equanimeous St. Brown made late in that 49ers game. I think that has to kind of boost him up. Jamon Moore obviously coming, you know, kind of a distant fifth if all hands are on deck. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just sort of left to – I'd love to see another week's worth of evidence with the full cast out there, with everybody healthy, you know, and Graham obviously has been a big part of it. He had the – what was it, the three big catches in that 49ers game? And, you know, maybe he's a real factor against the Rams in this matchup just because of personnel and how they sort of, you know, I don't know who they'll use to cover him. But, yeah, I mean, long term, I guess I would probably say that Valdez-Scantling has just gotten a little bit more of the work. You still see him and Rodgers kind of trying to work things out on the field, you know, having a little communication issues here and there. There was that red zone snap where it looked like Rodgers wasn't too thrilled with him, but he went to him early on a wide open play. I just feel like there's a little bit more evidence with him. How do you see that? I guess I'm still kind of hesitant, even though it's an offense you want to get shares in on. It just scares me a little bit to really put my faith in any of those guys right now.
Yeah, coming off a bye, it's also hard to tell the way they would look at it. I mean, the Rams, Marcus Peters is probably going to be on Davante Adams, but that actually helps Adams because I think Marcus Peters has not played well against better, more physical receivers. So it's figuring out who's going to be on the other side with Troy Hill, I guess, will be mainly covering there. I don't know if I'm crazy about the slot guy in this matchup with Nickell Robey-Coleman, but I'm going to see who steps up there because I think this could also affect Graham. I think the guy I still trust a little bit is Allison, but you're right. I think Valdez-Scantling is a legitimate threat here. So we'll have to see this, but I think for now, I think you have to kind of maybe avoid this in the short term and see it play out, like you said, this week, and then we'll know going forward who we can trust a little bit more. But Allison's pretty much looked good. The only question has been, I think, the snap count for him in most of these games.
Yeah, I know, and you know, Geronimo Allison, he's been a guy that I've sort of had my eye on since he came out of college, and you watch kind of how he – was able to take advantage of some situations, and it's easy to kind of forget about him in the mix a little bit. But yeah, that obviously there was a time 3 or 4 weeks ago where people were sort of scrambling to try to add him, and we can't forget that element. I mean, that was obviously, I think, a real sentiment. So I think I'm on board with that.
Now, another situation that is frustrating fantasy owners is the 49ers backfield. Matt Breida, you got to credit the little guy. He's been really grinding there to play through that ankle injury, doing his best, but sometimes you just can't go through it. And we saw he only could play 5 plays there in that blowout loss to the Rams. But Raheem Mostert, we talked a lot about him last week. Yeah. He just looked explosive again. And I think this guy, the way things are trending here, I think they might have to shut down Breida soon. Their season's not going the way they want, obviously. Alfred Morris is just a guy here. Mostert seems to just have that extra juice here that this might be the last call to get him. And he's one of those guys like a Marlon Mack in this middle part of the season that can really be a game changer for your team because this is still a very prolific rushing offense.
Yeah, and it's funny because like Mostert, you know, I was a little bit hesitant to recommend him last week. And I was kind of thinking, you know, he doesn't have great size. And I never thought of him as kind of that burst guy, but he really did seem to show it. And, you know, I mean, just the per touch production, I think he only touched the ball about 10 times and, you know, was kind of approaching 100 yards there. What was it, 60 rushing, 20 receiving or whatever. I mean, that's notable. I mean, that's something that, like you said, in this fantasy landscape, this almost a hellscape with, you know, running backs this year and some being great, some being truly awful, disappointing performances, a lot of spots. Yeah, there's no question he has vaulted Alfred Morris and probably will vault, you know, Breida, if you said, if they decide to shut him down. So, you know, I mean, I thought he even looked pretty good against the Packers, you know, just enough in that game, even if the numbers weren't great, to make me think that he was turning that way. I just didn't know that he would maybe get enough of the opportunity. But now, where they are, I think he's absolutely the guy you lean on from this point on.
Yeah, and I feel really good about him this week against the Cardinals because we know this team just can't really stop the run. The 49ers are going to be committed to the run and will be smarter about it in this week. So I think if you're looking for a spark there, he's a guy definitely on your roster. Marlon Mack, of course, we love now with the big game and going into the Raiders game this week. Now, Tre'Quan Smith at wide receiver. It was funny. I wanted to pick him up. Then somebody picked him up in my league, and then somebody dropped him. So it was kind of frustrating because I wanted to pick him up, but it was one of those deals where the waivers kind of channels out there, and you can't pick up a guy before Sunday. And
yeah,
I think he's going to fly under the radar this week because he ended up with only 3 catches for 44 yards, but that was a tough matchup against the Ravens. He did play a ton of the snaps, and most notably, we think of him as the outside deep threat that they had in the past, but he also pretty much played exclusively over Cameron Meredith. So I think there could be a bigger role for him, maybe inside, outside as well, opposite Michael Thomas. So Tre'Quan Smith, I think another one of those guys can be a big difference maker in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think you set it up perfectly, which is, I think you really do have to pay attention to snap counts. And there was this excitement about Cameron Meredith, you know, why did the Bears let him go? Saints got a steal. I understood all that. There was some real hope that he would come in and grab this job. But, you know, you still have to remember how excited the Saints were about Smith coming into the season, even if it took him a little while. Obviously, the 2-touchdown game a couple weeks back was sort of a big coming out party. You know, the Ted Ginn factor, you know, him being hurt and all that. I mean, that certainly played into it. But seeing him out-snap Meredith, it was an important thing. I think he was out there for about, you know, 50, 60 snaps in that game. Double check me on that. But, you know, I think Meredith was out there for maybe a dozen or 15 snaps. That's important. So the production may not have been all that great against Baltimore, a very good secondary, as you pointed out. But it portends good things, I think. And you see, this is a high volume offense. It's not going to be the same two or three guys every single week. So Tre'Quan Smith getting, what did he get, 40, 45 yards?
Against, yeah, right in that range, yeah.
So that to me is 60 or 65 against anybody else. So I like him. I like he's somebody that I'm absolutely keeping my eye on. He's owned in both the leagues I'm in. So if somebody wants to make a move with him, I'm trying to buy low and absolutely get in on that. And if he's available, jump on him.
Yeah, this week, when you look at the matchup, I think they're going to have a lot of throwing between the Saints and the Vikings. You also have the Vikings. You figure Xavier Rhodes is going to be on Michael Thomas. So good opportunity there for Tre'Quan Smith. Probably against Trey Waynes for most of the day in coverage. And they move him inside. Great matchup against Mackenzie Alexander. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But another guy that I think is maybe overlooked on the waiver wire, all the attention has maybe gone to Jalen Richard. But Bilal Powell has a neck injury. We liked him last week. Well, that was a good thing to like last week because Trenton Cannon stepped in there and was the receiving back and had a decent little day against the Vikings, garbage time and all that. But given this team and the limitations to throw downfield, Quincy Enunwa gone, Cannon looks like a guy that might get a lot of trust here, a fellow rookie there with Sam Darnold, and looks like a lot of checkdowns could be coming here. I think the only concern we have is Elijah McGuire, if he's going to spoil this. But in the short term, you got to like Cannon and what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, all the drop passes from the Jets wide receivers, you know, all the lack of reliable options. I think you sit there and say, boy, you know, who do you trust? I mean, I think Chris Herndon, the young tight end, you sit there and say, wow, okay, he's kind of become that guy. You know, and Noon was, what, 2 or 3 weeks away probably. Robbie Anderson's dealing with a hamstring. Isaiah Crowell still hasn't been the same since he injured his foot a couple of weeks back. Powell, you mentioned the neck injury as well. So, you know, Cannon absolutely is stepping into this role. Now, maybe he's only a 2 or 3 week guy, like you said, if McGuire is going to be able to be back in this, you know, back in this picture with the, after the foot, was it a foot injury with him? Yeah, I think it was a foot injury. Yeah. I mean, the speed is absolutely sort of catching your eye a little, and he's coming from Virginia State. I mean, this is a big jump, but coming into this Bears game, you know, there's a sense that we saw last week what James White was able to do against the Bears. You know, maybe this is where you kind of steal a play and Cannon ends up being a pretty good role player for a week or two. I mean, he was, you know, there were times in the preseason where he sort of caught your eye and he was sort of pushing for that number three job before McGuire got hurt. So You know, this was a six-round pick and a super productive player in college. I mean, at a lower level, but unbelievably productive in a couple, you know, couple seasons. So, yeah, he's one that maybe enters the week with little fanfare, but exits it with a little bit of buzz.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Is like, obviously, Hard didn't get any mainstream draft buzz there. But what did you like most about him when you were looking at the process there? Coming out of a HBCU.
Yeah, I mean, he's 5'10", he's 180, 85 pounds. But, I mean, you don't see too many guys coming out of college with 32 games played and 4,000 yards rushing. He didn't do a ton as a receiver in college, but the Jets clearly feel like that kind of explosiveness he has. I mean, he had a good 40 time, he had a good vertical jump, he had a good broad jump, all these sort of explosive numbers that made you think that, you know, this wasn't just the guy who was beating up on small competition. So his pro day probably helped get him drafted, and that production in college that he put up in 30 something games was really, really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting waiver wire for sure this week, because a lot of guys we're not 100% sure on, but there are some upside guys there, some fill-ins as well. It's just getting brutal out there. Unless you have Todd Gurley and you plug him in, or Patrick Mahomes every week, it's been a grind this season with a lot of things that have gone on. So yep. Thanks again for your advice this week and kind of scouting reports on these guys. What are you working on there at Pro Football Weekly, Eric?
Yeah, just sort of keeping an eye on the Bears as they fall back to 3-3. You know, we do a lot of stuff with them. Big game for them. If they don't, beat Darnold and the Jets, they're probably in trouble. But just kind of doing some stuff in the fallout of the Cooper trade. I think I'm working on my first mock draft. I felt like this is, for the real draft next year. I feel like this is at least a good time to kind of jump in and look big picture. More than half the college season's in the banks, and we've got this trade now where Oakland has three first-round picks. Maybe there's more. I mean, I don't know if, Patrick Peterson's for sale, but I think it's a pretty good time to at least start looking big picture at the draft and say, all right, who could fit in what range, what teams might be looking for what things, that sort of stuff. It's all guesswork, but we have more information than we did even, a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I have advice for you. Just mock whoever the Raiders need, because eventually they're going to end up with all 32 picks in the first round somehow.
Yeah, they'll find a way. They'll keep selling off assets. And even though they give away picks for guys like A.J. McCarron and Martavis and all that, they've done pretty well in terms of stockpiling the high picks.
Yeah, at least there's that going for them. But we'll see how this goes with the Raiders, running backs and receivers going forward. But thanks a lot, Eric, and we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll have some better teams to talk about than the Raiders next week.
Right. Looking forward to it, man. Talk to you then.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy.
Eric does a great job there at Pro Football Weekly. Follow his stuff there. Get some insight in the game. He's always on top of the draft picks and the guys coming out, so some good advanced scouting there, as well as knowing the league inside and out here now. And you're trying to win your championship and win big money, and you got to listen up here and pick up the guys we tell you to or suggest. Well, isn't it crazy there how much of your money, however, goes to new brand name clothes? We buy kids' clothes, and they just outgrow them in a few months, and we've already overpaid for them with not much use out of them. Well, wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, good news for you. There is at Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Why drive to store after store, sifting through racks, looking for what you need? Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with easy-to-use filters, so you can find just what you need, and what you don't want doesn't show up. Over 14 million tons of textiles are also wasted each year, so shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about while you're saving the money. And you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands. Where it's Lululemon, Carter's, Nike's, J.Crew, Gap, they've got it all there. And they're quality, hand-inspected items that are added to daily and making the inventory bigger and bigger. And Best of all, if something doesn't fit, there's hassle-free returns within 30 days at swap.com. And for a listener of Locked On Fantasy Football like you, there's a special offer. You can get 35% off select items for your first order with the promo code Locked On. That's the promo code Locked On. And you can save even more at totally 90% off on those named brands. You can find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage as well. So use that promo code Locked On with your first order and you'll get 35% off select items. Swap.com. Buy clothes smarter and feel good about it too. They're with the world's largest thrift and consignment store. When we get back, we'll look at the things we're looking at to round out wide receiver and defense going into week 8 and the waiver wire. So we're looking at running backs and wide receivers a lot, but wide receiver, I think there's some good value here. Robbie Anderson, we have to look at the Jets. We mentioned Chris Herndon and Trent Cannon being parts of this passing game earlier, but Anderson's the healthy wide receiver now. So we figure Sam Darnold soon wants to throw his wide receiver. Anderson still got a ton of targets last week. Jermaine Curse was faded out. Terrell Pryor's gone. So Anderson and Darnold are definitely having a good chemistry. So if he's still out there, you've got to look at Anderson for sure in your leagues, and he's still unowned. I think people are just worried about the boom or bust situation there. Now, Chris Godwin, you look at it, DeSean Jackson is fading in terms of what Jameis Winston is looking at. So if he's out there and people are disappointed there and available in some leagues, you have to look at Chris Godwin. I think Danny Amendola is someone you also have to keep on the radar here as short-term help. He's been targeted a ton here by Brock Osweiler in the two starts. He's going to start again against the Texans on Thursday night. We'll have to see if Osweiler remains a starter, if Tannehill needs more time. But overall, you have to really like what you have there in Amendola and Osweiler. It's a lot of dinking and dunking. And that, and you have a lot of injuries there with Albert Wilson and Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker. They don't really want to throw to him much. Danny Amendola is going to be at least a target monster. And if PPR, you can look at him, especially this week against the Texans, as a plug and play. We mentioned Martavis Bryant and see how that works out with Seth Roberts. Tyrell Williams and Cortland Sutherland are two more last call guys. Williams making big plays for the Chargers. He's on the bye, so he's not going to help you this week, but clearly right in there in the mix with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen again. So Tyrell Williams are looking good with Travis Benjamin. Still not looking 100% with the foot injury played, but Williams is the guy there in this humming Chargers offense against teams that give up the downfield pass that you have to look at. And Cortland Sutton last call as well, because we're hearing rumors about the Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders deals, but it doesn't really matter. Sutton is taking a bigger part there over Thomas in this offense. He's second most intriguing to Emmanuel Sanders there. So last call for Sutton as a wide receiver 3 here for most of your leagues. Now, defense and special teams, you got to look at a few games here. Cincinnati is a team that you can pick up. I know they're struggling a little bit, but the Bucs do turn over the ball at a high rate. Bengals play better defense at home in general. I know they're a little bit banged up, but that's what you have to look at this week. New England, they're playing Buffalo on the road, but the Patriots did score twice on special teams against the Bears in a matchup we didn't like, so there's always that potential. And the Patriots, the Bills are allowing the most fantasy points there to opposing teams. The San Francisco-Arizona game, you can look at both sides there. Arizona, I don't like as much because San Francisco can run the ball. I know they're the home team, but the 49ers can make some plays. They don't intercept the ball too much, so if you're a little bit deeper there, I would go with San Francisco. You got to look at Pittsburgh at home as well against Cleveland. Playing a little bit better defensively. Baker Mayfield can still make mistakes, even putting up volume. So a streaming defense that's out there that has potential. I think you can look at Detroit again. They're available, played well in Miami. Typically good home team. We can get some sacks against the Seahawks at home. And the Ravens have been dropped a little bit because they were playing the Saints last week. So you can look at the Ravens and Panthers in the same game. So a lot of decent streaming options this week. I think the under-owned ones are likely going to be New England, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. I mean, Carolina and Baltimore still could be available for you out there. And Arizona, at home, slightly a little bit better than San Francisco. So some good options for sure there at streaming defenses. And it's been the way to go this season with Jacksonville and some others. The consistency has just not been there because offenses, it really is about playing bad offenses versus just trusting a potentially dominant defense, because that doesn't exist this year. And that's what we're seeing, especially streaming is the best strategy in 2018. So there you have it. There's a look at all the pickups you should keep in mind here in week seven as we went through quarterbacks, running backs and wide receivers, tight ends, and defenses. So always have to be looking to improve your team. Things are always changing in this game, and that's what we're here for on Tuesdays with Weekly Waiver Wire. And thanks again to Eric at home for joining us. Tune in tomorrow when we'll have Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus to help us with matchup focus and assist on the top four intriguing matchups of the week. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.